Apostle Paul says that's the blessed hope of the church. Amen. It's not winning the lottery or getting their favorite guy elected in the next presidential election or getting some big old buck out there in the woods. Amen. The blessed hope of the church is the coming of the Lord. Amen. And so we gather here tonight because we share, I pray, that same hope. And if you want to turn your Bibles tonight into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, as people, we don't like to be vulnerable. Amen. We don't like weakness and vulnerability and things like that. But, you know, I remember the words of the Apostle Paul. He said that we were made a spectacle unto men and angels. Amen. And so it's our duty to be honest with people. And I'll go ahead and read here to you first before I have you be seated. We'll have a word of prayer as well. Just to kind of lay a backdrop here in the 39th verse, the Apostle Paul, he makes a statement. He says, all flesh is not the same flesh. Well, there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There's also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. I'd like to speak tonight on sown in weakness, if we could have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you now, Lord, as we read these words of eternal life, Father, that you would come and just minister to these people, Lord, that are they all feel like traveling on. Father, I thank you for that tonight. That was a blessing to me, Lord, to know that as a confirmation, Lord, that we're in the will of God tonight. Father, we gather here because we're all convinced of the same thing. We want to be in your will, Father. We want to be where you are, Lord, dwelling in your presence. And Father, we just desire that you would come and minister to these hungry hearts tonight, Father. They come from many places and many walks of life, but they, like every other person on this planet tonight, they have the same need. It's you, Lord Jesus. And I'm thankful for people who have recognized and responded to that, Lord. We just ask, Lord, now we know that if there's a deep to call to the deep, there's a deep to respond. Father, we're looking for a response tonight from heaven to speak to each heart, to give us a divine utterance, to give us strength to overcome, Father. We thank you for this time, Lord. We commit ourselves in this service now into your hands, in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be careful always to give you the praise and the glory and all the honor, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I don't know what you're all challenged with in your life. We all have different things, I guess. I was praying the other day and I was challenged by my lack of zeal. Maybe that surprises some of you, I don't know. But I was challenged by my lack of zeal, my lack of passion for the Lord, and I desired to have more. And I was praying and I was considering it the day it dawned on me. Most backsliders don't have that in the first place. Even a desire to have more. Amen. Most people that don't care about God aren't trying to be more zealous for God. And so it dawned on me to even have a desire to do that is a thing that God has placed there. Amen. And so I find myself, I'm like Jehu, I want to cry out, come and see my zeal for the Lord. Amen. I remember that I was talking to Brother Andrew about this the other day, and before he left on his trip, he was asking me some things, and I was talking about that, and I said, you know, the zeal of one man, Phinehas, stayed the wrath of God one time, and just to think about that. But so I find myself, maybe like a lot of you, I was burdened about my prayer life or my lack of compassion or certain things, whatever it be, in my own life. And as I said, I looked at this and I thought, well, for me to even have a desire in the first place means that God's doing something. Because most people don't sit there. Most people at the bar tonight or the factory, they're working third shift or maybe they're at a job or whatever it is. Maybe they're going home watching TV. Their foremost desire, their chief concern is not, well, how can I be more zealous for God? Where can I find the joy of the Lord at? You know, that's not even on their mind. And so for you to even have a thirst, for you to even have a desire to even be here tonight in the first place shows that God is dealing with you. Amen. And so I want to talk about this tonight, sown in weakness, because what we recognize the scripture tells us about the resurrection is like this. It's sown in dishonor, it's sown in weakness, it's sown in a natural thing, but when God brings it back up, it's not what it was when it went in the ground. Amen. The prophet here, he makes a statement, if I could, in Uniting Sign Times 63, and he says this, and this kind of tied into what I was dealing with. He says, I think one of the horriblest things there is to see is a man or woman that's constantly complaining. I've always thought, God, keep me from it.
Amen.
He says, see, that weakens faith all the time, you know.
Sure.
He just says, I know as they get older, each one of us, we're going to get something and something happen. I know these little things are going to keep accumulating as you get older. They just got to. He says, but I think one of the most horrible things is for Satan to crown some person's life a crabbed old man or an old woman, you see.
Amen.
Not trying to point the finger tonight, amen. For some of you older people here, if the shoe fits, amen. But Brother Branham didn't want to be that way, and I sure don't. I look at people and even in my own family, and I think, God, I never want to be like that. And the older I get, well, you're all laughing, but it's true. That's why you're laughing. Because the older I get, I find I'm getting more crabby. And you say, you're not even that old yet. Yeah, wait till I get even older. Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And I say this because we got this cockle burr that we have to deal with, and none of us likes to deal with it. Nobody else likes to deal with it either. And I particularly don't like to deal with it myself. Amen. And so, Brother Bram, he's talking about what this is, this idea. What a shame, amen, that somebody gets so embittered and so disappointed with life, they just become a crabby old person. Nobody likes crabby old people, amen. Oh, that's the truth anyhow. Yeah, they don't like it. Good point, brother. Well, we can close up shop tonight, amen. He says, I hope I don't get to that place, amen. I hope that I can bear my burdens and get to a spot where, he says, I want my life crowned with the glory of God, his long-suffering, gentleness, peace, meekness, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's one of my main things that's always hurt me through my life has been a nervous condition, that when I get so worn and I get real weary, I kind of feel like nobody cares for you, you know, and you all, you have it too.
Yeah.
Amen. I got one you up there.
Yeah.
And amen, brother. And I just happen to have a real overdose of it, you know, and it gets real bad sometimes. And I can't hardly sense it's tension. And that's what it does. And you get to a spot that many times, especially with so many visions, you see, it just gets me. I look at a person, I think, this is a vision. No, 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 it isn't. Yes. Yeah, is it not? You see? And you just don't realize what a price goes with that. So then you say, you wonder, you get to thinking, well, you get off to your side and you say, well, now what have I done? Here I am 50 years old and I've done nothing for the Lord and I'm getting old. Now this is Brother Branham, amen? Here I am, ain't done nothing for the Lord, I'm getting old. And he says, and what? He says, you get what we used to call the blues. He said, some of you brethren about my age remember when they used to have the blues. Pop used to talk about it and I wondered what he meant, and I sure know now what he meant. So then you get to feel that way, which none of it is true. It's just you. You know it. You know it. It's just you doing that. Amen. And like I said, it challenges me because I, even in my age, I see myself getting older and I see things in my family or my past and I don't want to see it. I see things cropping up and the prophet tells you that, you know, Satan's got one good punch at you. Is that right? And he's allowed to do that. And I want you to remember that. He's allowed to do that. Why? Because you have to keep that thing covered with prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God has left a vulnerability there, and he's left it there intentionally.
Amen.
And that bothers me, that bothers you, but it's for a reason, and that reason is greater than the light afflictions that we bear at this present. There's a greater glory that's going to be revealed because God is going to take you to a place of prayer. God's going to take you to a place where you have to depend on him. Despite your affliction, despite your personality, despite your character flaws, despite your weakness, even though it's sown in dishonor, it's sown in weakness, God's going to raise it up to something different, amen?
That's right.
I just want to skip ahead because Brother Bram starts talking about the different meetings and all the things he's in here. And he goes back to this, and just skipping ahead in this sermon here, he says, speaking of tension, I was praying about it this morning. He says, now, this is what I want to key on here just for a moment. I want you to think about this. He says, what would you do if you didn't have tension? Just think of it. He says, tension is a part of living. So that kind of encouraged me when I thought of that. See, it was the way he looked at it that changed it, amen? If you had no tension, you'd be like a rag doll. You just wouldn't have no feelings. There'd be nothing you could work on. It says, like a husband and a wife, maybe she wants to do something and they're trying to work together, especially Christians. The other one wants, when you bring them together, you find out what she's done. She finds out. He says, the tension really brings you closer together. Amen? And we find that tension will do that to you, amen? The pressure will, when you squeeze a grape or something, you find out what's on the inside, is that right? That's what a squeeze does. It shows you what's on the inside. And tension will either break your marriage or it'll strengthen your marriage, amen? Tension will either destroy your Christian walk or it'll strengthen your Christian walk, amen? Tension is all about what are you going to do with it. Now, most of us, we don't want stress. We don't want tension. We try to avoid it as much as possible. But if you really didn't have it, think about what kind of a Christian you would be tonight. If there wasn't a tension, I need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. I need to be more fervent. This is a desperate hour. If that wasn't there tonight, you probably wouldn't be here. You'd have found something better to do with your time. Amen?
Amen.
Well, hallelujah here. He says here, he says, somebody tells you, he says, well, just think of that little wife that wanted a lot of attention when you wasn't no good, or that husband wanted some attention when you wasn't so good. Then when it's all forgiven you, look how you feel about him. He says, my, he says, you've got to have tension, that's all. He says, and just think of feelings. What if you didn't have any feeling? No pains or nothing. What if there'd be no pain at all? You'd have no feelings at all. And if you had no feeling, one of your senses would be gone. So he says, see, everything's just right anyhow. See, God just give us grace to stand up to it. That's the thing. If we just stand up with that grace and stand there and say, we know that when this life is over, the great one's on the other side, what we're looking to go to. And we remember all these things. That's attention. He says, see, he says that some people tries to introduce Christianity, that it's, oh, you're free from worry. He says, no, you're not. You're free from tension. Oh, no, you add tension when you become a Christian, because you was kind of a slop. Amen. He says, a happy-go-lucky, whatever it was out there, not caring what you did. But when you became a real Christian, every moment you're wondering, am I pleasing my Lord? Amen. If I could hear from him, it puts you on tension, puts you on guard. And then he says this, that's what makes you what you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all this tension is a blessing. Well, hallelujah. I went into work Monday, didn't know that there's going to be three of us for the entire lunch thing, and we're going to have all these people backed up, and I had to work over 4 hours. It made a tension, amen. I didn't see it as a blessing at the time, I'll be real honest with you, amen. Sure. It brought out some qualities in my life I wasn't real pleased about, amen. Well, hallelujah. Some attributes, as it were, some cocklebur nature, get a little grumpy, amen, but it's a blessing. He says that it's just the way you're looking at it, he says. If you just look to the other side, he says, no matter how thin you slice anything, you've got two sides to it, see? So you want to see both sides, amen? Years ago, I remember Ray Comfort tells a story. He tells about a man having a parachute, because Brother Bram's talking about presenting the gospel like it's trial-free. He said if you were going to get on a plane and you were going to give a parachute to a man, and this, you knew this plane was going to crash. He said, if you give this parachute to a man, and he said, now this parachute, it'll make you feel good, and it'll give you joy, and it'll give you peace, and it'll make your life better. If you put that man on an airplane, and he's wearing a parachute, everybody else is sitting there watching a movie, and they're not wearing a parachute, he would begin to, after a while, to feel uncomfortable. He's sitting on this bag for 8 hours. It's hurting his back. People are staring at him. It makes him uncomfortable. It makes him stick out like a sore thumb.
Sure.
It produces a tension. It produces it makes him look a little strange. It makes him walk a little different. It makes him act a little different. And if a man was, if he invested his hope in the idea this is going to make his life better, it's going to improve his quality of life, it's going to make him happy, he would get frustrated, like so many do with the gospel, like so many do with the word of God. They get frustrated and take it off and say, this didn't produce anything I was looking for. But if he told that man, look, this parachute, it might not always be comfortable.
Amen.
It might not always feel good. It might not always look, make you look normal. But when the plane begins to crash, it'll save your life.
Amen.
You wouldn't care how many people laughed at you. You wouldn't be concerned about how hell, amen, when the plane begins to fall and the engine light goes off, you've got a grin on your face because you say, you know what? I'm going to make it. When everybody else has said, I don't need the parachute, I don't need this, that's a bunch of fanaticism. When their plane's falling out of the sky, you're jumping out the door, amen. You're entering another atmosphere, you're getting away, amen. They might have made fun of you, it might have hurt, but I tell you what, you're still alive at the end. Oh, hallelujah, I tell you what. See, now, okay, now this is me now, maybe. I don't know how y'all, what y'all on your rooms at home and stuff, but they got this saying nowadays. I think it's take joy in the journey or find joy in the journey. I'm thinking, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Well, praise the Lord, I stepped on somebody's toes. I'm thinking, you need to find joy in the journey, have joy in the journey. I'm thinking, I ain't got no joy in the journey. That's why I'm going where I'm going. I got joy in the destination.
Amen.
It's because I hate the journey.
Yep.
That's why I'm going where I'm going, amen. I'm not looking to have fun here. Well, praise the Lord. No, I'm not. Now, see, now people are going to think I'm talking about being miserable all the time. That's not what I'm talking about, amen. But look, I'm not like trying to like make it out here, amen.
Amen.
I tell you what, kind of like Jacob. Few days in evil are the days of my life.
Yeah.
I've not even lived as long as my father's man, born of a woman. He's few days and I'm full of trouble. Is that right?
Yeah.
I tell you what, not liking the journey so much, but I like where I'm going. Amen.
Yeah.
Lord, I tell you what, I was reading Hebrews 11 that I said, man, these guys didn't have much joy in the journey. Amen. They were wandering in deserts. They were held up in caves. They were sawn in half. They were afflicted. They were destitute. They were poor. Oh, but the world wasn't worthy of you. You know why? They weren't looking for a city here. They were looking to have a good time here. Amen. They were seeking a city to come whose builder and maker is God. A city without foundations. Amen. That was their joy, not where they were at. It's where they were going. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, here they had trial. Here they had affliction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Well, hallelujah. Some of us got trials tonight. Amen. Look at these saints in the book of Revelation. And they're crying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. This is not the cry of a people that enjoyed their place in life. This is not the cry of a people that said, man, everything's just great here. Man, the world's just great. Let's just stick it out here. They're crying for him to come because they want out. They don't want nothing to do with it anymore. They're not comfortable here. They're not enjoying it here. But they've got a consolation. They've got joy, amen, at the end of the road. They're going somewhere. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my heavenly home. It's bright and fair. Amen. I feel like traveling on. I don't feel like sticking around. Well, hallelujah. I don't know. Maybe somebody will be giving me a quote with Rem said that, but I'm sorry, Lord. Amen. Maybe I didn't do my homework, but I just irritates me. I'm thinking, man, I don't enjoy this one bit. Amen. Well, hallelujah. I tell you what, it's like that book. Your best life now. I'm thinking, well, maybe it's Joel Osteen's best life now, but it's my worst life now. I mean, this is the closest thing I'm ever going to get to hell. Amen. That's where I'm at right now. When I'm going to JCPenney, most of the guys can identify. Anyway, when I'm walking down the street, when I'm working out in the factory and I'm doing all these things, this is the closest.
Amen.
Not what was before, not what's coming after. This is my worst life now. This is the closest I'm ever getting to hell. Now, maybe for him, it is his best life now. If you're a sinner, if you're alienated from God, if you ain't a son of God, this is the best life you got going. Yeah, you ought to enjoy it. You know what? If you're going to be a sinner, you might as well do a good job. Don't be a hypocrite. Go smoke and go drink and go carouse and do whatever you want. Amen.
Right.
You might as well do a good job at it. Eat and drink and be merry because tomorrow you're going to die.
Right.
Hey, amen. Yeah, go ahead and have fun. You might as well. Yeah, why be miserable and be religious? Amen.
Right. Amen.
Why do that? You might as well go be a good sinner. Amen. But for a people that's born again, for a people that's come from God and they're going back to God, they don't live here and say, man, I'm having the time of my life. Man, they're saying, I can't wait to get out. Oh, there's tension here. There's heartache here. There's trouble here. But that's the very thing that God is going to use to take you where you need to go, amen? Because if you didn't have that, you wouldn't be wanting to go there, amen? The eagle stirs the nest. Why? So that the young will take flight, amen? They have to make it uncomfortable. Oh, hallelujah, I tell you what, we need some preachers nowadays to preach. They don't preach like they do anymore, amen? Used to preach that heaven's high and hell's hot, amen? That straight's the gate and narrow's the way, amen? They don't preach like that no more. People get comfortable in church. They're okay. Well, we know mysteries and we know deep things and we have a good program and we got nice, we got smoke screens and laser lights and we got a nice rock, man. They get comfortable in church, amen?
Sure.
Oh, when the very flames of hell are nipping at their feet, they're sitting there twofold more tied to hell than they were in the first place and they don't even realize. Amen. But for you, you come here tonight.
Amen.
Maybe a little outcast group, maybe a bunch of little holy rollers and fanatics. People make fun of you. People don't like you. Amen. Maybe your own family, you're praying for loved ones and they don't like you and they don't want nothing to do with you. Amen. But there's something in you. There's a tension. There's a desperation. There's a need. Hallelujah. You look at your life and you say, I can't hardly stand myself anymore. No wonder nobody else likes me. I can't hardly deal with this anymore. I got to get out of this thing. That's exactly what God is trying to place in you. A desire to escape. A desire to get out. To break free. Amen. Oh, you look at the Apostle Paul. He's looking at this and saying, oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me? Oh, man, look at me. Man, I look good. I'm so smart and I'm so strong and I'm so handsome and I'm so talented. Man, I just can't. I'm in the prime of my life. Now, Paul's like, man, get me out of this thing. Then deliver me from this body. I'm chained to this thing and I can't stand it. I just want to get out. That's about all. The more, the further I go along, that's all I think about. How can I get away from it? How can I escape this thing? I hate it. And that's the very thing that God was using to fuel this desire in Paul. Amen. Well, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
We need an old St. Paul's revival, amen, where we sweep the trash out. Brother Bram says people all want revival. What they need is a good killing, amen. Everyone wants revival. No one wants to die. See, we all want an easier life, but most of us probably don't need one.
Right, amen.
Most of us probably don't need one. Brother Bram, going back to my quote here. He says, so tension, he says, I think, oh my, what's this tension? If I could have been born without this tension, maybe you're here tonight. Man, if I just wasn't born this way, if I just wasn't raised this way, why'd I have to be born this way? If I could have been born without this tension, well, what if I wouldn't have had this tension? I wouldn't have been what I am. I wouldn't have been a Christian, perhaps. It was this tension that drove me to Jesus Christ. So it's been a blessing to me. So then as Paul said, as though when he had a tension or something, he consulted the Lord to take it away from him 3 times. The Lord said, Saul, he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. Amen. He said, then I'll glory in my infirmities. Then when I'm weak, I'm strong.
Right.
See, as long as it's the will of God, all right. He said, now I consulted one time when it used to bother me so bad. It scared me. And he told me about 8 or 10 years ago, he said, it'll never scare you again. And it never did, he said. No, sir, I don't worry about it. I just feel it, but I know it's there. But I just go on because it don't scare me anymore. See, the tension's still there, but the fear of it left. Amen?
Amen.
I'm so thankful that he said, now he could have said it won't be no more. It's just as well, you won't be scared no more, he says. So it's his will that it happens, so I just embrace it and say, thank you, Lord, I'll walk that way.
Amen.
Many of you, I don't know if you know my testimony, but I wasn't raised Christian, strictly speaking, but we had a Bible in my house, and my favorite character in the Bible when I was young was Solomon. I'm like the Queen of Sheba. I heard about the wisdom of Solomon. I wanted to read it, and so I read the book of Proverbs, and I read the book of Ecclesiastes, and that's what I read most of the time when I was young. And if you've ever read it, you understand it's kind of depressing.
Right.
Amen. It's supposed to be. Amen. Here is a man with tension. He was gifted with wisdom. Is that right? He was gifted with discernment. And that gift, like Brother Branham's gift, all it did is it created more tension for him. It made his life harder. It didn't make it easier.
Right.
He testifies in the first chapter. He says, "In much wisdom is much grief. And he that increases knowledge increases sorrow."
Right.
And I find through my life, I look at things, and most probably think I'm dumb. But I'm very much like an analytical person. I think things out too much. Amen? And people that know different testimonies and stuff, you know, the Lord shows you certain things from time to time. He's shown me certain things before. And people think that's such a great thing. And I'm thinking, but it creates a tension when you know things about people that you don't want to know. When you see things in people's life, when God shows you something that's going to happen to somebody years later, and you don't know what to do about it, you see them falling into it, you say, what can be done? And it creates a tension. It creates a weight that comes with that. Amen? The prophets of old, the Bible time and time again talks about the burden of the word of the Lord. Is that right?
Sure.
It didn't make them popular. It didn't make them well-liked. It didn't make them received. Amen? It was a burden.
Amen.
It created a tension.
Yes.
It created despair and trouble for them. But they had to do it. Amen? They were obligated to that word.
Amen. Amen.
And that's why I tell people, they talk about enjoying the journey. I'm thinking, how can you enjoy the journey? If you're like me, and I think about it all the time, you think about people, kids, by the minute, there's kids starving to death in the world tonight. Amen? As long as I preach tonight, there's probably hundreds of kids, little children tonight, that'll die of starvation. There's people in old people, you know, there's people in nursing homes tonight, and they work 2 jobs to support their kids, and they slave their life away, and they raise their kids, and their kids don't even want anything to do with them anymore, and they're drawing their last breath tonight, forsaken and alone because nobody cares about it anymore, and their whole life they laid up for their kids and they didn't even care one bit. Tonight they're dying because they for $2 worth of medicine they can't get it where they're at, and they're dying tonight. There's graveyards filled tonight with people. They went to church and they thought they were good people, and their voices tonight, they're crying out in hell like the rich man, let me go back, let me lower my loved ones. The hell's enlarged itself.
Amen.
Hey man, you look at all the funerals and all the death and all the despair. There's women and children tonight, millions of them. There's more slavery today than there's ever been in the history of mankind. The people being sold for all kinds of perversion and filth, and it goes on all the time. And all this is going on, and people just having a good time. They're whistling through the graveyard, and they don't realize they're worried about some lion dying somewhere, and millions of kids are killed every year in this country before they're even born. People are dying left and right. They're starving. They're in poverty. They're afflicted.
Amen.
And all they can think about is their own selfish life and their own self-absorbed problem.
Right.
Well, I didn't get the raise at work today. I only make $35 an hour. I didn't get a raise. And there's people that are dying for a crumb of bread. Amen.
Amen.
I don't enjoy it one bit.
Amen.
Well, I kind of put a dapper on the whole thing for you all. Amen. That's the world we live in.
Right.
I don't enjoy it one bit. I don't enjoy it. I don't mean I don't enjoy things in life. Look, the Bible says love not the world.
Right.
Amen. There's a difference between being in the world and of the world. Amen.
Right.
Jesus prayed about that. He didn't pray that we'd be taken out of it, but he prayed that we would be kept. Amen.
Amen.
And to do that, he puts attention in our lives. For me, it's the constant thought of all the death and the chaos and the burden of it. How it bothers me, how it might cause me to lose sleep. But if it wasn't there, where would I be? Amen.
Sure.
Somebody was making a joke. I'm going to Africa here again at the end of the month, and somebody was making a joke about about my vacation to Africa. I said, this isn't a vacation to me. I'm not going there because I like leaving my family. I'm not going there because I like going over there. It's hot over there.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. The food makes my stomach upset. The people over there don't act like me either. They're not cultured like us, educated. And maybe their hygiene ain't the best, and maybe they don't look the best. But you know what? I love them. That's why I love them. Amen.
Right.
Despite all that, I love them.
Yeah.
That's why.
Right.
Well, there's a burden there because I realize what kind of a world we live in. Amen.
Right.
Why would anybody want to stick around here? Amen. They'd have to be blind.
Yes,
oh my, hallelujah. I go because somebody went for me one time.
Amen.
Amen. He had a right, Brother Bram said, he had a right to live a normal life.
Yeah. Sure.
Amen. He didn't have to leave glory.
Amen.
He could have went and had a wife and kids, but he left for me.
Amen.
Somebody left for me one time.
Right.
It wasn't because it was easy. It wasn't because it was fun. It's because it needed done.
Right.
Amen. We live in such a carefree society, and it's all about self and make yourself happy and do for yourself. And you look, I mean, even raw heathens, amen. You look at back in the day, you look at your knights and your samurai and all these men, they had concepts of honor and dignity and responsibility and duty and sacrifice, things we don't value anymore. You know why they had those things? Because they kept them alive, amen.
Yeah.
Look, it wasn't fun to go out and fight and die, man. But it kept them alive. It kept their families alive. It saved their nations. It saved their generations. And we live in such a day and age. People, they're heady and they're high mighty. They're truce breakers. They're false accusers. Covenant breakers. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They think they're fine, but they're poor. They're wretched. They're miserable, blind, and naked. They realize they're killing themselves.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Like the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. They've become spiritual sluggards. Amen. They've not laid up for their an inheritance spiritually for their kids. They've not laid up an inheritance for this nation or for this people, amen? They do what they want. They act how they want. They get away with anything they think they can get away with. And they don't realize they're laying up destruction for their children. They're laying up destruction for a future world.
Yeah.
Oh, we're stress-free. We'll take a little more of these booze. We'll do a little more of these drugs. We'll go do this a little more, and we're gonna live stress free. We don't need all that tension. They think they've got peace. Amen.
Yeah.
All they've done is sear their own conscience with a hot iron. They're like a tree that's dead twice, plucked up. Amen. They don't realize what they've forsaken is the very thing that would have kept them alive. Amen. Back when men were men, back when people had class. Amen. Man, they don't do that no more. Amen. And they've killed themselves. They taught their kids in school that they come from animals and they act like animals. They kick prayer out of their school and then they wonder why everything bad happens. Well, you forsook God.
Amen.
Well, that's not popular. That's not fun. I know. That's why you're supposed to do it. Amen. I don't know any of the adults that have jobs. We love our job. We love going. Amen. Most people don't. But they go because they have to. Amen. Well, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
I say this because we have a responsibility. Amen. We can judge that one died for us.
Right.
Is that right? Paul said that. Well, then we then thus judge that we ought to all live for him. Amen.
Amen.
We have a responsibility to God.
Amen.
And there's a tension that comes with it. Amen. It's sown in weakness, as I talked about in the opening. Amen. There's a need there. And we don't like it. Amen. I don't know about you. I don't like trials. I don't ask for trials. Brother Kent, you pray for your trials. I sure don't. You've got things in your life about yourself you don't like. And you pray about it, and it just seems to be something you wrestle with all the time. What you don't realize is you need that. Amen? People want to get rid of their pain all the time. You need your pain. You need your tension. You need that stress. Amen? You know what? God didn't choose Abraham because he was the strongest, the Bible says. He chose him because he was the weakest. Is that right? And some of you tonight, you look at yourself and say, I can't ever overcome. I'm a nobody. I can't do nothing for God. I ain't got no talent. I ain't got no gifts. Amen? You look at yourself and you think, man, I'm the weakest. And you don't realize that's why God picked you.
Amen.
The very thing you despise. I'm like the worst person. I'm the chief of sinners. That's why God picked you.
Amen.
If you were so great and so awesome, he wouldn't have won you in the first place. But it's because you don't fit in. And the reason you don't fit in is because you aren't from this world in the first place.
Yeah.
You wonder, why am I so... You look at a creature, you look at a fish out of water. How it struggles just to live, amen? Why? Because it's not in its native environment. That's not what it's born for. That's why you're so weak. That's why you struggle. You weren't made for this world, amen? The devil's made it a Satan's Eden for his children. Oh, they romp and they play and they have fun, amen? And you're like some sort of infirm crippled kid. You can't hardly get up. Why? Because you're not made for this environment.
Amen.
He picked you because you're weak. He picked you because you were the lowest. He picked you because you were the least capable. And the very thing that you hate. The very thing that you despise, the besetting sin in your life, and the weight, and the mind battles, and the nervousness, and the struggles, and the things you hate the most, that's why he picked you.
Amen.
That's why you're here tonight.
Amen.
The things I hate about me the most, that's what keeps me clinging to God.
Amen.
That's what keeps me by the cross. Because I know I couldn't make it without him in the first place. And the farther I go on, and the more disappointments I have, and the more struggles I go through, I could give up, I could be a crab apple, I could get all upset about things and be disgruntled. But you know what it made me realize? It was never me in the first place.
Amen.
And the further I go on, the more I realize it.
Amen.
If I didn't see all these things and behold all this chaos, there'd be no need for me to go help somebody.
Yeah.
1,000 miles away. There'd be no desire there. Amen?
Right.
But it's because God put it in front of me.
Amen.
God's put things in front of you. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your church. Maybe it's somebody at work.
Right.
Whatever it is. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Don't despise that.
Right.
That tension, Brother Bram said, that's what makes you who you are.
Amen.
And I've been through things, brother. Sister, I've gone. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know how I was raised. It was terrible, but you went through it for a reason.
Right.
That made you who you are.
Right.
It's like Brother Bram said, you might not even be a Christian tonight otherwise.
Uh-huh.
The things you hate the most, your dishonor, your weakness, the very things that drive you here to your knees, that's exactly where God wants to meet you.
Amen.
That's exactly what he's looking for. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
He's looking just for somebody to say, I need you, Lord.
Amen.
Man, I didn't get no better at this the further I went on. I need you even more now.
Amen.
Oh, I find it myself. It's like I was talking to a brother the other day. I said, you know, when I start out preaching, people get nervous. I wasn't really. I get more nervous now than I ever did my whole life. Amen. Because I realize more and more, I don't have a chance without him.
Amen.
I can't get up here and do nothing for you. Amen. I can't do nothing for God without him. Amen.
Amen.
I don't have a chance. We don't have a chance in the very weakness. I'm the worst preacher ever. I got a horrible voice. It's like Dwight Moody, amen? They come to hear Dwight Moody. Well, he's got a nasally voice, and he sounds, and he doesn't look good. And when they presented it to him, he just kind of chuckled and said, well, people don't come to see me anyway. All his weaknesses, all his inability, all his lack of polish and glamour and glitz, that's why God picked him. God looks at things different. God don't look at your tension and say, man, that's ruining their life. God looks at your tension. God looks at the things in your life that you hate. Says, that's what's bringing them close to me.
Amen.
They have a punch. There's a spot. They're vulnerable. And they need me.
Amen.
The world don't care about one bit, but they need me.
Amen.
He got your attention.
Right.
Did he get your attention tonight? Amen. I got your attention now. Now listen. I got your attention for this. God put that there for a reason, amen? Your weaknesses are your greatest source of strength.
Uh-huh.
Because you have to depend on God. That's why Paul could say, when I'm weak, then I'm strong.
Amen.
Brother Branham, I love this. Brother Branham said that when the weakest Christian falls to knees in prayer, the devils tremble.
Amen.
He say, I'm the worst Christian there is, brother. Man, I've got to lead. I look at these people in church and they've got it together. They're so anointed and they're so gifted and they're such a better Christian. I've got to be the worst Christian. I've got to be the weakest Christian there is. Praise God. Because even when the weakest Christian goes to their knees, the Satan begins to tremble and the kingdom of hell begins to shake. Because you're a child of God.
Amen.
And even the lowest child of God is still higher than the highest devil.
Amen.
If you're the weakest, scrawniest, least anointed Christian that there is, you're still greater than the greatest, biggest, strongest, smartest, most powerful devil.
Amen.
When you hit your knees, you say, God, I've got weakness. I've got frailty. I can't seem to overcome. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Satan begins to get shook up. Satan begins to get shook up when you say, you know what? I've got loved ones and they're going the wrong way. But I'm just going to go to my knees now. Oh, that's such a pull. I feel like I'm being pulled down. Oh, but there's a power to lift you up beyond the stars and beyond the moon to the very throne of God. And you come before the throne of grace with boldness. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Glory, glory, glory.
But I've been praying for that for 50 years.
Yep.
And God kept you praying, did he?
Amen.
You didn't stop praying.
Right.
And you didn't give up.
That's
and
right.
You didn't throw the towel in and give up on God.
That's right.
I can't seem to overcome this in my life. I keep doing this. I must anger God. Oh, but when he died on that cross. And it paid for something for never even born. And it paid for what you did today. It's paying for what you do tomorrow. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
He looks at that and says, you know what? I'll look through that blood and all I see is, Father, forgive them. All he sees is the right. But look what I've done. Look what I've been. And all he sees is the righteousness of God.
Hallelujah.
Brother Bram says in Hear Ye Him 57, I'm sure we all love the Lord Jesus and just love to feast on his word. And I'm so thankful he gave us his word. And yet, I've always tried to be very strict about the word. Because Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth. And now I want you to remember this. And this is for the weakest Christian that is in this building or this world. Maybe you're here tonight. This is for you. Amen? Because not just the building says we're in the world. Amen? You say, I'm the whole world, I'm the weakest Christian. This quote's for you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm the chief of sinners. Guess what? I got a quote just for you tonight.
Amen.
He says here, this is for the weakest Christian in the building of the world. You don't have to have gifts. You don't have to wait for some person to come by who prays for the sick. He says, I'll go on record because there's a tape recorder taking it right here. And I'll say this. The right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. If you can get the right mental attitude towards that divine promise, amen? You have right now what you need. But I'm weak, brother. I've got problems. Join the club. If you weren't those things, you wouldn't be here tonight. But mine are worse than this guy's. Well, praise God. I guess you need more grace. Oh, hallelujah. Good thing he promised you an abundance of grace. Whatever how much you need, you got it. Because the right mental... See, you just got the wrong attitude. But the right mental attitude... Well, I've got so many problems. Well, it's going to be such a much greater thing.
Amen.
When you stroll into the pearly gates, hallelujah. When you march up to heaven in a rapture and you step into that theophany, it'll be such a greater thing. Because Brother Bram said there'll be people that you thought were going to make it that aren't there.
Right.
And there's going to be people you didn't think were going to make it. Maybe you don't think you're going to make it. Maybe other people don't think you're going to make it. Oh, but there's a quote for you, amen?
Yeah.
I'm one of them. Sorry to disappoint you, but that's me.
Yeah.
Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody's got to fulfill that, amen?
Yeah.
So if you all think I'm going to make it, guess what? You're all in for some disappointment. It's whether you like it or not, I'm going.
Yeah.
You say, well, how can you say that, brother? Because he said it.
Yeah.
The right mental attitude towards that promise will bring it to pass. Is that right? Brother Bram said, if you've got faith, he said, if there's a rapture night and there's one going, he says, if you've got faith, you say, I'm that one.
Amen.
And he says, if you don't have that kind of faith, you have the wrong attitude.
Right.
Amen. Now, I'm not trying to disinvite you all tonight, but I'm letting you know, if you decide you don't want to go, I'm going. I could care less if you want to all bail on me. If it's just me and the Lord Jesus, I'm going. Brother James, are you going to go? What if I don't go? Are you going to go? Well, hallelujah, that's a good attitude. Amen. Look, if I felt, if that bothered me, there's something wrong with my faith. He should have that faith. If I want him to make it, I should expect him to have that. You should expect to have that, amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's right.
God's covenant with Abraham in 56, he says, now watch. Speaking about his temptation in the wilderness, he says, now watch. Jesus used his power, but he didn't. He used the word. He said, it is written, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Times and defeated Satan all three times. And three is the confirmation of a witness. Amen. He defeated Satan on his own ground with the word of God. Amen. And the weakest Christian here tonight. Got it? If you're here tonight, again, I got a quote for you. The weakest Christian here tonight can defeat Satan any place, any time, under any conditions with thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
That's right. You just believe it. God said so. How do you know? God said so. What if by his stripes I'm healed? What is confess? He says confess is to say the same thing. That's what a confession is. Confess is to say the same thing and say the same thing he said. Say what he said. Don't say what your feelings say. And that's where most people, the complainers, get robbed at. Amen. Well, I don't feel anointed. I don't feel victorious. So what? The Bible didn't say confess how you feel. By his stripes, if you feel all right, then you're healed. Well, if you feel like it, praise the Lord. Didn't say that, did it?
Right.
To say what he said, don't say what your feelings say. Don't say what your neighbor says. Say what God said, confess it, and believe it. Amen?
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 Amen.
Tonight, what I want you to do, it's sown in weakness, but it's raised in power.
Amen.
It's sown in dishonor, but it's going to be raised in glory. Amen?
Amen?
Your weaknesses don't have to keep you from the victory.
That's right.
Amen? Your weakness doesn't have to keep you from the victory. In fact, your weakness will lead you to the victory.
Amen.
Because it will drive you to depend on God. Amen?
Amen?
That's like I tell people, I don't think I've preached this here before, but I might have been telling Brother Kent one time, but I said, you know, most of us look at weaknesses and we have the wrong mental attitude towards it. Amen?
Right.
You look at me and say, man, that brother's really stubborn. I'm not stubborn, I'm persevering.
Amen.
I'm determined. Amen?
Amen. Right.
That brother's really loud. No, that brother's really bold. That brother's too quiet. No, he's timid. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is esteemed wise. Man, he's a wise brother.
Amen.
Amen? We look at Peter. He starts walking on water and then begins to sink. We look at his weakness. Oh, man, he got nervous. He looked at his problems. He fell in. But he walked on water.
Yeah.
He did walk on water at first.
Uh-huh.
How many of us have done that? Amen?
Right.
We look at Thomas and say, oh, Thomas, he doubted. He had to touch the side of Jesus. Oh, doubting Thomas, how he doubted. Oh, but he was still a disciple of God. This is the same Thomas when he wanted to go to see Lazarus' grave and they all said, well, we're going to die. He said, well, let's go and die with him.
Yeah.
Here's brave Thomas, ready to die with his Lord to go see Lazarus. Amen?
Amen?
You look at yourself and you see doubting Thomas. You see loudmouth Peter. Amen? You see the stubborn soul. You see the cocklebur. Amen? But God can take that thing and if he puts it in the right channel, it becomes a strength. Amen?
Amen?
The very thing that it seems like a weakness is just a strength that hasn't been yielded to God. Because his strength is made perfect in weakness. Not just despite weakness, but in the weakness. In the very midst of death and frailty and insecurity and defeat and dishonor. That's where strength is found. Amen? And the very thing that you abhor is the very thing God's saying, give back to me. And I'll use it and I'll give you victory with it.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
Well, I'm not smart. I'm not clever. Well, praise God. The apostles couldn't write their own names. Guess what? Amen. Look what they did. Amen.
Right.
Oh, well, you know, I'm not talented. I'm not gifted. Well, praise God. God is. Amen.
Yeah.
God's powerful. What? Brother, you don't understand. I've got besetting sin. I've got problems. I'm like, well, like I said, I guess you're just going to have a little more grace. Praise God. There's more for you. Amen. See, we make excuses.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, I'm weak. I can't do it. That's exactly why you can. Well, I'm tired, I'm sick, I can't do anything. Well, praise God anyhow. If you've got enough breath to complain, if you've got enough strength to murmur and complain against God, you've
not enough strength in your body to give God praise. Well, brother, you make it sound like it's better to praise God. Then it's always better to praise God anytime. It's better now to praise God than it was 5 minutes ago. It's going to be better 5 minutes from now. It's always a better time to praise God. Why? I'm just looking for something better. Come on. This is the best time to praise God there's ever been in the history of mankind. Oh, but look at Laodicea. Look at my problems. This is the best time there's ever been to praise God. Man, I tell you what, I praised God earlier today. I praised God on Sunday, but guess what? I'm getting ready for the best time of my life. This is going to be the best time to praise God. Amen. How many's come tonight for the best time to praise God? Oh, I come to give Him glory. I come tonight to give Him praise. Amen. I look at things and I can get discouraged, but I'm encouraged tonight. Amen. I'm encouraged tonight because I know that God is more than able. God called me out because of this, because of my weakness, because of this. God was looking, amen. This body is sown in weakness. You're not going to sow it in strength, amen. You're not going to fix it and it's going to go down and be all right. No matter what you do with it, at the end of the day, it's sown in weakness. But it shall. It shall be raised in power. Why? Because that Spirit is in you. And if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Amen? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. This is the best time. I like that. You know, that's pretty good. This is the best time to praise God there's ever been. Amen. 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 How many's had a trial today they had to go through?
Sure.
A few people tonight. Okay? Maybe you thought, maybe I won't come to church tonight. Maybe I better just give up. Maybe God don't even love me anymore. Guess what? You've come to the feature tonight. This is the best time to serve God there's ever been. This is the best time to praise God. Look, don't use your voice to complain, but that destroys your faith. Amen? Well, hallelujah. We seem to exempt ourselves from that. Well, if I complain about myself, it's okay. Well, I put myself down. Well, I ain't nobody. I ain't. Well, I guess God's a bad businessman then.
That's right.
Because he paid the highest price he could pay for anything for you. Now you wouldn't go tell God you made a mistake. Oh, hallelujah. Look, you wouldn't be the first one. Moses did that. Is that right? Jeremiah did that. Oh, I'm nothing but a child. Oh, God would take a little Samuel. God would take a little David. Look, David wasn't the strongest man in the army. Amen. That had nothing to do with it. He believed God. Amen.
Amen.
Moses, you're nothing but an old man. You're all washed up. Oh, Moses was just getting started. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, you're at the end of your life. You're getting old. You're winding up. You're in your golden years. There ain't nothing,
sure,
not much left for you, Moses. Oh, Moses was just beginning to start. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, he just came to the best time in his life to serve God.
Amen.
He just came to the best time in his life to give God praise. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, look, a man like Isaiah. He could look at himself and say, woe is me. I'm a man undone. I'm an unclean man in the midst of unclean people, but God would come with a coal and he would light his lips afire and God would make a call.
Yes.
Now who's going to go for us? Who am I going to send? How many of us tonight will say, Lord, send me.
Amen.
I'm done looking at, oh, I'm an unclean man. Oh, I got problems. God can't use me. If God can't use you, then he can't use nobody.
That's right.
Amen. If we can't praise God now and get the victory now, we will never be able to do it. Amen.
Right.
That's what I want to always ask these people. They live in defeat. When are you going to get victory? Amen.
Yeah.
At what point in your life are things going to change? Amen.
Uh-huh.
Look, you don't have to wait for anything. That's what Calvary was about. He did it already. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's true.
Let's stand to our feet tonight. I won't keep you too long tonight by the grace of God. But I would like to just bow our heads here for just a moment as we go to prayer, because I find, as I said, I see things in my own life I get disappointed with some time, and I've come to find out that I'm not alone in that.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads here. Maybe there's one of you tonight gotten discouraged a little bit. And maybe you've been guilty of making excuses. Like so many of the people in the Bible made excuses. You make the same excuse again and again and again. Maybe it's been 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Maybe it's been 5 minutes. Whatever it is, make excuses. You go around the same mountain. You fight the same battle. And you think to yourself, I ain't getting nowhere. Maybe God don't want to help me out anymore. Maybe God don't love me. God's just using that to take you to where you need to go. God's just going to take that power that's seeking to drag you down. He's going to use it to take you right out of this world. Amen. Maybe you've got something in your life tonight, and it just wrenches at you. It bothers you. It causes you to lose sleep. It causes you to agonize and to cry out, to be brokenhearted. God will not despise a brokenhearted or contrite spirit. That's exactly what He's looking for. Amen. That's exactly what He's looking for tonight. I'm thankful we have a testimony, like Brother Bram said. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not where I ought to be, but thank God, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not a chicken in a chicken yard. I was always an eagle. And look, maybe I have trouble sometimes. Maybe the winds bluster and blow. Maybe I struggle to stay afloat, but you're still an eagle. You still got wings. You can still fly. Maybe the wind blows you down, just take right back off again. God gave you them two wings to fly. He didn't make you. You weren't born for the valley. You were born for the sky. You were created to soar in the heavenlies. Maybe you walked around with the chickens and maybe you seemed like you weren't a very good chicken. That's because you were never one in the first place. You weren't designed for this. That weakness, your inability to eat that chicken food became your greatest source of strength. It became the very drive and passion to make you take flight when you heard an eagle cry. It was the very thing that drove you to leave that world. Tonight, maybe you are wrestling with something tonight. Maybe you want to lift a hand and say, Lord, I've got problems. I've got trouble tonight. Even Abraham, it's like I tell people, even Abraham had an altar of dedication. Even Abraham, after all he'd been through, had an altar of rededication. Say, Lord, I've been through a lot. I'm disappointed with things. But Lord, I'm trusted to You. I've trusted it to You, and I'm just going to continue to trust it in Your hands. Lord, if it takes 5 minutes or 50 years, I'm not going to let that thing keep me out. I'm determined to go through no matter what. I'm persuaded there's nothing. Nothing can separate me. No height or depth, no angel or power, no man, not even myself. I can't even separate myself anymore from the love of God that's in Christ. Maybe tonight, I don't know if you're the weakest Christian, but maybe this message was for you. I want you to be encouraged that the weakest Christian is still greater than every power of the devil. Because you have a home. You have a Father. You have a place. You have a dwelling. You have a consolation. Oh, saints, tonight, what need would there be of consolation if we didn't have trials? What need tonight would there be if we didn't have struggles? Tonight, with your heads bowed still, I want you to make a commitment to the Lord once again. Right where you're at. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at me. It's between you and God. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for all these things I've done, Lord. I've tried, and I can't seem to overcome it, Lord. But I know that You're faithful. Lord, for me to even have the desire to overcome it means there's a power that lies inside of me. This sin, this weakness, this mind battle, it's not going to keep me from a rapture. It's not going to keep me from the kingdom. It's not going to keep me from obtaining what God has promised me. It's not going to keep my children out. It's not going to keep my family out. It's not going to keep me out. This sickness is not unto death. This problem won't stop me. Even if I go on the ground like them saints in the book of Hebrews, I'll die in faith because the promise is waiting for me. And even my death won't stop the promise. Even my death won't stop the promise. You know that song, Jesus Be the Lord of All? Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord. Jesus. Lord, that's our desire tonight, to surrender our hearts to you, to place our lives on the altar, Lord. Lord, we lack the ability to overcome these weaknesses, but we know your grace is sufficient. Lord, you're just looking tonight for hungry hearts, willing hearts that'll surrender to you, Lord. They'll surrender despite their inability to serve you the way they want, Lord. You'll get a perfect praise out of them. You'll have a perfect sacrifice provided for them. Lord, that despite all the weaknesses and all the frailty in their life, you'll strip everything away and you'll produce a son, a daughter of God, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or blemish. Lord, this is now the sinless, virtuous bride of Jesus Christ. Lord, tonight, Lord, I find myself maybe I'm that weakest Christian tonight, Lord. But Lord, I still believe. If I ain't got one gift to show, if I ain't got one talent to give, thus saith the Lord is still enough to defeat the devil. Thus saith the Lord is still enough to set the captives free. Thus saith the Lord is still enough. By his stripes I'm healed. Thus saith the Lord is still enough for me tonight. I'm not backing up. I'm not backing down. I'm not walking away. I'm not turning down the promise. God's word is true no matter what. I'm not going to be sidetracked by distractions and weaknesses. I have a consolation in those things. I'm not going to sorrow as others who have no hope. I'm not going to carry on with the frolic of this world. It's a grave hour. It's a desperate hour. But God, send me. Here am I. God, if we keep one person perishing, God, send me. You came for me. God, every time I call, you come for me. Jesus. God, let me go just for one soul, Lord, I'll go. It might not be fun. It might not be pleasant. It might cost a great deal. There might be great pain involved. There might be a great burden, but Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord. I'll do whatever you want, Lord Jesus. Lord, I can't give you much, but I'll give you all I have. All I have is yours, Lord. Lord, I'm reaching out to you right now, Lord. Just touch us once again, Lord. Lord, we get so, like the prophet, we get tired. We get weak and we get the wrong attitudes about things. Lord, encourage your people tonight. The battle's not to the strong. The race isn't to the swift. Oh, Lord, but the battle belongs to you, Lord. Lord, I commit these people in your hands now, Father. Whatever is trying to hinder them tonight, Lord, may they look up to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of their faith. May they find strength from El Shaddai. In their greatest weakness, Lord, you will produce the greatest testimony. There'll be a great victory. There'll be a shout of the king in the camp. We come out with great rejoicing. For weeping is for a night, but joy cometh in the morning at the rising of the sun. Lord, we have a consolation. Lord, that where we're going, there's joy. There's a joy for me, and not where I'm at, not this world I'm going through and the journey thereof, but where I'm going, I've got joy. Oh, Lord, may we set our affections on things above tonight. And we'll give you all the praise. Bless your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus, be the Lord. Lift your hearts now. Oh, Jesus, be the Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart. Oh, Jesus, be the Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord of all. Jesus, be the Lord of all. That's not your desire tonight. I encourage you to surrender to him tonight. Don't wait another day, amen. Oh, Jesus, I surrender all. Surrender all.
Oh, Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdom's of my heart.
I want to sing another song. I don't know if you know this one. You probably do. I know it's in the blue songbook. It's I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and it can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like you, Lord, by reaching out to you. Sing it again. Oh, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and it can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like you, Lord, by reaching out.
Just reach out to tonight.
Oh, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like you, Lord, by reaching out.
One more time.
Oh, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and it can reach me through. And as I pray and press my way,
hallelujah.
Oh, I'll learn to be more like you, Lord, by reaching out to you.
Amen.
Oh, there is come. Shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Oh, what a day, a glorious day.
Come quickly, Lord. That's what I'm looking for. Amen.
Oh,
yes.
What a day.
Oh, hallelujah.
That will be when my Jesus I shall see.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me. Oh, he saved me by his grace. Oh, he's going to take my hand when he takes
by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Now think about this, Brother Kent.
There'll be no sorrow there.
No more burdens to bear, Brother James. Oh, hallelujah. Oh my, what a time. There's going to be no sickness,
no more sickness,
no pain,
no more
heartache. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Forever.
What a day. Oh, thank you, Lord.